Tonight I'm going to do something a little different. We're going to be in another prophetic passage tonight, but I will not be doing the mark of the beast with you tonight. I'm going to draw your attention to Luke chapter 21. How many of you over this past week have found yourself spending time studying scripture relative to prophecy? I know I have, personally, in my own personal devotions, just reading through Matthew chapters 24 and 25, Luke chapter 21. 2 Timothy chapter 3, other passages that speak a great deal of the times in which we are living. And I want us to look at what we're seeing today and what it is not. We're living in dangerous times. I've had more conversations with individuals over this past week talking about what's happening around the world, what's happening in our country. The number of people that have come to our country illegally crossing the border, and not from South America so much and Central America, but we're talking about other nations. China, 15,000. Uzbekistan, 13,000. Other nations that are in the stands area that have made there in the numbers of 5,000 and 6,000 and 7,000 that have crossed our border, and many of them we have no idea where they're at and what they're doing here. And it causes alarm. I went out with my boys yesterday. We went shooting over at the gun range. We try to do that every few months, and we were out there. It was jam-packed. I never heard so much shooting since I watched a cowboy show on television. It was just, I mean, there were hundreds there. We had to look for a parking spot, and they were out. They had a big skeet competition, and then there were people out there practicing. We had to wait in line before we got an opportunity to be able to shoot a little bit. And I went back inside to get a target because we didn't have one for the rifle range, and I was standing in line there, and I got a chance to talk to the owner that was behind the counter, and I said, "It is super busy." And she said, "Everybody's scared." And I said, "What?" She said, "Everybody's scared. With all the craziness in this world, everybody's just kind of getting ready." And all I could say to her, I said, "Well, a gun's not going to stop what's going to happen in this world." I said, "Everything is moving toward God's plan for the future." I had a little mini opportunity to plant the gospel there. But you think about the fact that many people are afraid, and they're afraid because they see so many things, and it's amazing how many in the news media are pointing to biblical themes and what's happening. They're not unaware. But the point is this: this is not the moment of the second coming. This is the lead up to that. And I want to show you from Luke chapter 21, because there were some questions that were asked by the disciples. They asked the Lord, what is the sign of your coming, the second coming? And he lays out, beginning at verse 8, some things that are currently happening. But he makes an important point that I want to look at. And I've entitled this, Walking in Dangerous Times. And the fact that God has given us some understandings about walking in dangerous times. Now, the rapture can take place at any moment. As a matter of fact, in my Bible, I have between verse 11 and 12, I've written in the rapture. Because there seems to be the indication that verses 12 through 19 deal with a period of time in which the 144,000, which is in the first half of the tribulation period, these are individuals who come to faith in Christ. They're Jewish men. And Revelation chapter 14 says they're virgins. They're not married. They haven't known a woman. And they are saved as a result of the ministry of the two witnesses, whoever they may be, that God raises up in the first half of the tribulation. They come to faith in Christ, 12,000 from each one of the tribes, 144,000. They go forth as evangelists, and these are statements that are made to them about being faithful in their testimony. Before that. And then you see the beginning, verse 20, of when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation therefore is nigh. And that, of course, triggers the time of Jacob's trouble, whenever Israel is sold out by the Antichrist. And so I've written that in mid-tribulation. We see that undertaking, which takes us through the end and the revelation, of course, of Jesus Christ. But I want you to look at verses 8 through 11 with me as we just consider some thoughts tonight about walking in dangerous times. Look at verse 8. And he said, this is Jesus responding to the question of the disciples, "Take heed that ye be not deceived." You need to underline that in your Bible. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ." And what else do they say? Now, this is intriguing to me. They say, "The time draweth near." The time draweth near. What are they referring to? Well, they're referring to a biblical reference, but they're deceivers. They're using the Bible. They're making reference to the times of refreshing, the things that have been prophesied in the Bible, and "I am the Messiah." Those are the words of Antichrist, but they've also been the words of many Antichrists through the years. I'm going to share some instances from history tonight of those that have come forth that have said they're the Messiah and they were a false teacher. And I want you to know that there are many false teachers today, and some of them are on channels, social media, that are prophecy geeks. That's what I call them, prophecy geeks. Everything they see is a fulfillment of some prophecy. And we need to understand that this passage makes very clear that it's the beginning, but it's not yet. It's the beginning, but it's not yet. And we have to be wise that we don't fall for the pranksters and the people who declare forth that they know what's happening and this is a fulfillment of a prophecy. Be careful about that. Be careful about that. And he said, "Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name." In whose name? Jesus' name. "Saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them." By the way, Christ, if you'll notice in your Bibles, is in what? Italics. It does not appear in the original language. It just says, "I am." What is that a title of? That's the title of Jesus himself. "I am. The time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass." But notice that last phrase, "but the end is not by and by." It's not yet. "Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in different places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up into the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." Now here's a description that in many we call a double reference. It has a reference to what the disciples would go through, but also a reference to those who would live in the future, what they were going to go through. So you have a present thing that the disciples went through. They suffered greatly at the hands of enemies after Jesus left them. But at the same time, we have a reference to that which is future, about those that will live in the future. They will go through the same types of persecution. So we keep that in mind. And I personally think this is a reference to those Jewish 144,000 who will be tormented, and yet they will be sealed. The Bible says they'll have a seal in their forehead. There's the mark of the beast, but there's another group that will have a seal in their forehead. Read about that in Revelation chapter 7. This seal is upon those, and they will not be killed. They will not be harmed until God is finished with their evangelistic outreach, in which millions will come to faith in Christ, I believe. There'll be many that will come, but they will die at the hands of the enemies. But, verse 13, "And it shall turn to you for a testimony Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to mediate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Now some people see a contradiction there. It says, some of you shall be put to death, but not a hair of your head shall perish. Now, what's the Lord saying there? What he's saying is I'm going to take care of you. You have the picture of the martyred souls that are under the throne of God crying out, may our blood be avenged. God's not going to let that go by. He's going to deal with that, and he's going to avenge the blood of those martyrs, and he's going to bring them forth, and they're going to be rewarded for their labors. What a wonderful day that's going to be. And I think that's a reference. Not a hair of your head. Don't think you're just going to go to the grave and that's it. I will bring you forth. You're going to have a new body. And I'm going to give you life everlasting in that new body. What a glorious day that will be. And so that's kind of a picture that's given. And I'm going to stop with that, because I want to share with you some things that he mentions in these verses. And I think that you and I, as believers in Christ, should take note of, as we are in the early stages, I think, of, now remember, there's 7 years between the rapture and the revelation of Jesus Christ. 7 years can be a long time, especially when there's horrible suffering in the world. It can seem like forever. Doesn't it seem like forever that Russia invaded the Ukraine? That'll only be 2 years this coming February. I mean, it just seems like a long time, but it's not much time has passed. So understand these things. Number one, a thought that came to me as I was studying this, to walk in these dangerous times, do not in any way, shape, or form follow false deceivers. You and I are told in God's Word, and this is also for the benefit of those that will live in the future, that will be living during the tribulation period, they're told, don't believe the deceivers that are out there. There's a reminder, folks, that you have to be on your guard all the time. There's no such thing as casual Christianity. My heart is grieved as I watch people that just are living life and they now love Jesus and they're just living life and they're so careless. You can be deceived if you're not careful. And he warns these believers that he's talking to his disciples, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name. What is the notation about these deceivers? It's very clear. They use the name of Jesus Christ. It seems like that most people say, well, they're a believer. They use the name of Jesus Christ. Warning! Warning! Alarm bells! Not everybody that names the name of Jesus Christ is a part of Christ. We're walking a dangerous road as we walk in this world. Christians are despised and hated because they hate our Christ. But there is an alternative Christ that's out there. This alternate Christ that allows you to live ever how you like to live. You can do all the things that the world does. You can live like you want to, and you can have Jesus too. That's false. That's deception. That's making you think differently from this book. And we have to be careful about that. It's easy. I had an administrator who's also an assistant pastor in a church tell me, he said, our hearts were broken recently. Our youth pastor just got up and left and didn't come back to church. And they called and they finally got a hold of him and said, where have you been? I can't stay in this church anymore, he said. He said, what's the problem? I've never mentioned anything before. He said, I've been doing all I can with the young people, and the church is against the young people and what they want. The guy almost broke down in tears as he was saying, he said, we were crushed when we heard that. He said, the young people want the church to go in a certain direction, and people are standing against that, and I'm not going to stand around and watch the young people get hurt in what they want. To use the expression from this gentleman that shared that with me, he said he went liberal on us, and we didn't know that that was the influence he was having on our young people. And he took several of the young people with him when he left. They wanted the CCM. They wanted the Christian rock. They wanted to have loose standards. They didn't like the restrictions that were upon them whenever they went out on youth outings and things of that nature. They had to do Christian things that they say are Christian, but we want to do it this way and so forth. And so the guy was sympathetic to them, and he wasn't supporting what the church was doing, and so he just quit. Is that honorable? To not even talk to the pastor? He just got up and left. Wouldn't answer the phone because he didn't want to deal with it. Now, what is that? He was a deceiver. He was a deceiver right in their midst. And the gentleman said, I'm so thankful that he's gone, that influence is gone, that we really didn't realize. We just kind of turned the youth ministry over to him. We thought he was doing a good job, but secretly behind the scenes, he was doing a deceiver's work. This is a reality. This isn't just one church. This is happening in lots of churches. Upheaval. Change. For the sake of what? Well, we don't like the way things are being done here. We don't like the way things are. Well, wait a minute. We're warned about this. These deceivers that come name the name of our Savior. And they use the same lingo we use. What does he say? I am. What else does he say? The time is near. That's the language of prophecy. That's the language of we're looking for his soon return. But this guy says, I am. He uses our language, but he's not part of us. This is the struggle of the end time. This is the danger of the end time. And we have to be ever so discerning and careful as we walk. Take heed that you do not be deceived. How do you prevent yourself from being deceived? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever spent time, Christian, asking God, God, show me in your word how not to be deceived? I doubt there's very few people tonight all across America that have even thought about what are ways in which I can prevent myself from being deceived by false teachers. We have gotten to the point now in Christianity where we're so accepting of everybody. Anybody that says they're a Christian, we just accept them. And how dare we say anything against them because they name the name of Jesus? I'm warned here about those that use his name. I got to be careful. That doesn't mean that we walk around with a big stick. Oh, you said you're I am. Let's see if you're I am. Whap, 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 whap. Okay? We don't walk around necessarily distrusting everyone. But the point is this, folks. We do have to have a level of discernment so we don't get trapped, so we get drawn in and sucked into the mentality of the end time. The deceivers that are out there, and there are many, and they are active. They're not satisfied with you serving God. They want you to change so you take their way of doing it. They always cause us to compromise what we believe in. They never compromise anything. They never give up anything. It's always those that want to do what's right that are called upon to give it up. Stop doing it that way. Do it our way. But wait a minute. What is your way? Can we ask questions? Is that okay? How many of you think it's all right to ask questions? What is your way? What are you espousing? It looks very much like the way of the world system. It looks very much like this group over here, which we know are not honoring our Lord with their attitudes and their affirmations. They're not honoring the Lord. It looks very much like that. I'm to exercise discernment. In this dangerous world, do not be deceived by those who use the name of our Savior and use His lingo. Weigh it carefully. Weigh it carefully. I remember as a child, Mom used to make biscuits. And our job was to take the flour and run it through the sifter. Back in the day, flour came in cloth bags. Anybody remember that? Now we have these fancy wax bags that keep out the moisture. It's so nice, you don't have to sift anymore. But when I was a kid, when it was biscuit time, we came home from school, we poured the flour into the sifter, and we would sit there and sift it for Mom. And every time we sifted, something unique was left in the bottom of the screen. Anybody remember? It was those hardened chunks of flour where moisture had gotten in through the bag. And, you know, I asked Mom, why do we have to do this? Do you want this hard thing in your biscuit when you eat it? Is there anything more disgusting than to bite into a biscuit and hit this big old pack of dried, hard flour? You know, it's like eating dirt. It really is. I had to laugh. Somebody was telling about their two-year-old the other day that they went out and they were outside doing something and they caught their two-year-old eating clay. And they got up and they were foaming at the mouth and they were doing this. Well, that's what it feels like to eat a big clump of flour in the middle of a biscuit. It required us to be discerning about our flour. That's what sifting is. It's sifting out all the impurities, getting that out of there so you can have granular flour to make good biscuits, buttermilk biscuits. I'm making some of you hungry. I need to stop right now while I'm ahead. Many will come. Notice that word, many. Many will come in my name. One striking example from history. 100 years after Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again, and ascended into heaven, there was a Jewish man by the name of Bar Kokhba. I hope I'm saying that right. Bar Kokhba, who claimed that he was Jesus returned. He had read those passages in the book of Acts about, if my people will turn to me, the times of refreshing will come. And so he used that phrase and he began to deceive the people saying, I am the Christ. And he said, one of the things that I want you to do is I want you to stand up against the Romans and I want you to fight the Romans. Anybody know how that went? They were crushed. They were wiped out and destroyed. A false prophet said, I am the Messiah. We could go to many examples. Josephus tells us that there were 6,000 refugees who perished in the flames of the temple porticos, deluded by a false prophet who had on that day proclaimed to the people in the city that God commanded them to go up to the temple court to receive there the tokens of deliverance. We read about that in the Jewish Wars by Josephus. They were deluded by a charlatan, and 6,000 lost their lives. There have been throughout history these individuals. Some of you may remember the story of William Miller, 1846. He predicted that Jesus Christ was coming again. And he printed up pamphlets and he sent them out, and they were picked up by newspapers, and it was spread all over the country that Jesus Christ was coming back in 1846. William Miller became a household name. He had prophesied that. You know what people began to do? They sold their property. They quit their jobs. And they waited. And they waited. And they waited. And Jesus didn't come back in 1846. William Miller was discredited. But lives had been devastated. Because he said he knew when Jesus was coming again. He was a charlatan. He was a false prophet. And yet thousands of people were deluded by the false prophet. That brings me to a second point. And I'm just going to mention this because our time is gone. Look at verse 9, please. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions. Have we not heard that this week? Wars and commotions. Our FBI told Americans on Thursday of this past week, be on alert. Friday's a day they're calling for jihad around the world. And everybody be on alert and be careful. And people were taking extra precautions and so forth because of rumors that there might be an uprising. But what does he say following that statement? But when you hear of wars and commotions, say those next three words. Be not terrified. Why? Why? Aren't we supposed to be terrified when we hear about wars and commotions and our children might have to go fight and the awful things? We prayed for Chase Maynard tonight. I talked to his dad this week and tried to encourage him that we were praying for Chase, for safety and protection, and for all of his boys that serve in the military. And he thanked me and said, thank you. He says, it's been a great cause of concern in our household. You know, it's just normal. Be not terrified. Why? For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by my, or it's not near. It's a reminder that this is something that must happen. It's the lead up to the event, but it's not the event. So I want to encourage you in the second aspect, and we'll pick up with this perhaps at another time. Don't be afraid by catastrophic events that may happen. They've happened in the past. They're happening now. We have earthquakes that are taking place. We have activity. We were warned this past week of solar flares that would potentially knock out the power around the world. New York Times, New York Post carried that story. Scientists are concerned about that because we're so dependent on wireless technology and so dependent upon the power. And what happens in a world when all that's knocked out and all of our satellites and things that will be coming from that? That's a sun event. Isn't that mentioned here in our passage of Scripture? Things happening in the heavens. It's just a reminder, don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. These things must happen. But the time is not yet. That is, the second coming has nothing to do with the rapture, because a rapture could happen at any moment. Amen? There's nothing holding him back. It's just going to be a nod from the Father to the Son. Boom. We're snatched up to be with the Lord. We look forward to that day. But understand, we don't live in fear. We don't live in fear. We live in faith, trusting our Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, we know these events are yet future, related to the tribulation period, all the things that will happen in the first 3.5 years, the terrible things that will happen in the latter part of the 7-year tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble. We see the nations forming and moving together that hate Israel, as prophesied in the Scripture. We're even told what nations will be a part of that confederation in Psalm 83. But Lord, we're not to be afraid. We're not to pray that these things don't happen, because they will happen. We just need to submit ourselves to Thee and live by faith. Encourage us, dear Father, in the times in which we live, and help us to be ready to meet Thee. For we know the trumpet's going to sound soon. Help us to be ready for that trumpet. Help us not to be shocked. Help us not to be living in such a way that would bring dishonor to your precious name, but help us to glorify thee with every minute of every day, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.